Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so glad to have you with us every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we're especially glad to have you with us tonight. As always, we'll begin our Bible study with songs, scripture, and prayer. So tonight we're going to have a song by Vicky Yohe, and then we're going to have scripture read by Dr. Nooks, and I will offer the prayer. So come join us as we go to devotion.
Because of
Our scripture lesson for this evening is Revelation 20, verses 7 through 15. And this is from the New Revised Standard Version. When the 1,000 years are ended, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations at the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, in order to gather them for battle. They are as numerous as sands of the sea. They marched up over the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from heaven and consumed them. And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne, and the one who sat on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Also another book was opened, the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, as recorded in the books. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and all were judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. God has a blessing of the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his word, for it is the word of God.
Would you please mute your phones? Dr. Nix, thank you for reading that scripture. We're so glad that we have such an awesome text to focus on this week. Would you all join me in prayer? God, we come before you and we're just asking that you lead, guide, and direct us to this Bible study tonight. Well, you understand that we are seeking you tonight to get an understanding of a new heaven and a new earth. Lord, help us to open our hearts and our spiritual eyes so that we can see you clearly. And we can move in the direction that you would have for us. Lord, forgive us for our shortcomings and our trespasses and help us to be more like you. Help us to move every day towards new mercies, to ask for forgiveness, to seek your face, to strive to understand what your will is for our lives and to be obedient to that. We ask these blessings now in the name of your Savior, Jesus Christ, and that, Lord, that we would be obedient in this Bible study to not only learn what it is that you want us to do, but to make action effective in doing it. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So this is December the 11th, and tonight we are so excited about tonight's study. We have been examining several very, very good things from the scripture, and we, you know, this week we have come back and, you know, last week we had such a good time, and we actually have been studying and have brought everybody together. I don't know if Britt is on the line tonight, and we probably need to do a roll call before, but this whole month is going to be a phenomenal month of interesting and exciting questions. So we are going to do a lot of study. And we're talking about the new heaven and the new earth. Last week we talked about judgment and reward, and we'll be talking about heaven and earth in the lake of fire, and we'll then talk about what does it mean by a new heaven and a new earth. We had that listed as the 18th, but I guess we'll switch it and do the 11th on the 18th. But and the 25th, it says, what will change? What can we expect? So this is our agenda for the month of December. We sent that out to you before. And I again want to remind us, we've talked about judgment, who's going to be lost and who's going to be saved. We're talking about heaven and the lake of fire, what it means to by the new heaven and new earth, and what we expect to see as change and how can we expect that. A little bit about the Bible study etiquette is that in the studio, we have people who are in here, and we discuss with anybody who's in the studio. We can hear any types of feedback. So we ask that you put your phones on mute unless you're speaking. That's just the studio etiquette, because even if it's the smallest of sounds, we hear rustling of papers, we have people knocking on the desk, we can hear the mics moving around. So if you put your phone on mute as a means of etiquette until you get ready to speak, and then when you get ready to speak, don't forget, and then take it off of mute. And that way we have a clear tone, a clear sound in the studio. And then, as you know, we'll have people who can call in. And when those people call in, we're asking that you just, you know, clearly share what it is that your questions are, and then join in the discussion. But that's kind of the basic understanding, is that we know that people are from different faiths, different perspectives, and as they join us and as we all talk, that everybody does not have the same perspective, nor do we agree with everything that everybody else is saying. Please put your phones on mute. Even though we don't agree with what everybody else is saying, we're still in here to dialogue and to share with one another so that we can have differing perspectives that bring us into a clearer picture of the scriptures and what it is we perceive the scriptures as saying. So, Dr. Nooks, with that being said, would you please get a roll call and just move us? If you're ready, let's go, let's go, let's go. And I'm going to go to mute. So, amen.
Okay. Who do we have on the line this evening?
This is Brett.
This is Donald.
Okay, Donald and Brett, Dr. Susie and myself. Praise God. We're studying about the new heaven and the new earth, and our primary reason to study this is we need to, I think, reflect on where we are in God and where we expect to be and what it is that we need to be doing as children of God. In James 4:8, it's a very familiar scripture, draw nigh to God and God will draw nigh to you. And I'm afraid that sometimes many of us are not drawing nigh to God, and perhaps it's good to reflect on where we're going to help us to maybe stay focused on God, because it's easy to move away from God if we follow the rules of the world, and Satan is the prince of this world. So Satan wants to get us to move away from God and not to try to get close to God, because then we don't act like God, and we can pull others away from God also. And so when we find ourselves in a world that sometimes, even in the church, when we should be praising God, we're praising people. And we're not really focusing on doing the will of God. And God wants us to be disciples, and we should be disciples and disciplers, making other disciples. So we want to talk about this new heaven and new earth tonight, and we want to talk about heaven and the lake of fire tonight. And when you say heaven and the lake of fire, you have two extremes. Either you're going to heaven or you go into the lake of fire. So it causes us to pause, I think, and just think about where we're going and what these two extremes mean to us. I just want to read briefly a description of the lake of fire, and then I want us to read a couple of scriptures. I want us to look at Revelation 21, 1 through 8, and I want us to look at our scripture for tonight, Revelation 20, 1 through 15. And the one scripture talks about the new heaven and the new earth. The other scripture talks about the lake of fire. But let me just read this little explanation of the lake of fire for a few minutes. Lake of fire, a phrase used in Revelation to describe the final destination of the enemies of God, including the devil, the beast and false prophet, death and Hades, and anyone not found in the book of life. The lake of fire will be a second death, consisting of eternal suffering and complete separation from God, and or a permanent and inescapable death, possibly the same place Jesus calls Gehenna in Matthew 10:28 and Mark 9:43. So we have the lake of fire, and we have a new heaven and a new earth. So to begin the discussion, I just like to ask, when there is a new heaven and a new earth, where do we want to be? And I think it's an obvious answer that we want to be in heaven. But do you think that this is a generally agreed upon answer? I think most people would say they want to be in heaven, but I don't know that they realize really what that means. And so I ask those that are in the studio tonight, does it seem like we're working on being in heaven, even as the church? What can you see and what can you share with our listeners about do we appear to be working on being in heaven with God? So I'd like to hear from Brett and Donald and Dr. Susie on what you think about that, and then I want us to read our scriptures for this evening.
This is Brett. I think a lot of people believe that their name is in the book of life, but they don't know that you can get your name crossed out of that. And I believe a lot of people just don't really think about it anymore, because we don't pursue being Christians in a lot of families. A lot of families have gotten away from the church and they forgot what the word is about. And that's why we have so many problems in the families going on today. That's why people turn against each other, because they have no foundation. And that's why the houses are being divided, and it's being divided in half again. And pretty soon there won't be a family unit unless we get them to turn back to God.
Our Lord.
This is Donald.
Yes, Donald.
I agree with Brent, but I also feel like it goes further back when the federal people decided to take prayer out of school. Even if it wasn't that strong in the families, at least the younger people were getting some prayer in school when they went to school. So now they stripped it from the schools, and some of the households that the religion or faith wasn't that strong, it's even weaker now. So now our younger children that was, I would say, in school in the early 80s and middle 80s and so forth, they grew up without the word. That's how I feel.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And I just wanted to say something briefly before Dr. Susie makes a comment. There may be some people that are wondering. Brother Britt said that you can get your name crossed out of the Book of Life. And that's the debate that's going on. But generally, most people believe that once saved, always saved. And there are some people that believe you can get your name crossed out of the Book of Life. In other words, you can do something to lose your salvation. So just wanted our listeners to understand that there are some people that believe that once saved, always saved, and your name is not crossed out of the Book of Life. And then there are other people that believe that you can lose your salvation for some reason. So this is a debate that's going on, but I did want to make a comment on that for our listeners. Dr. Susie?
Yeah. The specific question, Dr. Nix, was how do we feel about would you repeat the specific question again?
Do we see evidence or do we feel that people are striving to be with God in heaven, you know, based on the evidence of what we see, you know?
I think there are few people who are trying to live their lives in a way that they can have as the ultimate goal to achieve when they know that they're going, when they die, that they will be with the Lord. I think there are several people who are striving for that. I do believe that there are people who are doing that. But I also believe that there is a large generation of people who don't believe in God, who don't believe in heaven or hell. There's a large group of people who don't believe in any of this. And, you know, the prayer is that our children and our loved ones do understand that what you do on this earth doesn't, there is a heaven and a hell. And if you don't believe in
Amen.
God, Lord have mercy, you know, we'll come to that reality when we transition from this place. Other people think there's nothing to transition to. But as I've said many times, I would rather err on the side of believing that there is something than not to
Amen.
Err and end up in hell.
Amen.
Or not
Amen.
To me,
Amen.
Separated from God. Yes.
This
well,
is Brett.
And that's, go ahead, Brett. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say that when I was reading earlier, I think it's in the 20th chapter, it talks about the judgment of the dead, and it's the last line before we go to chapter 21. It says, anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. So right
mm-hmm.
there it's saying not everybody's name is going to be there.
Oh, no, everybody's
so we have
name
to do
is not going to be in the Book of Life. Yeah.
Yeah, so we
but
have
it doesn't
to do,
say
we
that
have
their
to,
names would – it's not saying their names are going to be scratched out. It's saying that they won't ever
right.
be put in there.
Right. But see, I had a lot of people believe that their names are already in the book from the time they're born, and I said no. It's about your works and your deeds that you do to get your name put in the book. Now, I might be wrong about that. What do you guys think?
Yeah, how you get your name in the Book of Life is being saved. Now, your deeds and your works are something that gives you extra rewards, but that's not about you being in the Book of Life. When you're saved, you're in the Book of Life. But, you know,
Amen.
The revelation we hear about being rewarded because of our works, but that's not about being in the Book of Life. That's about rewards that we have, jewels in your crown. So being saved puts you in the Book of Life.
Amen.
So it doesn't have to do with works because we're not saved by works. You know, and you know, we're saved by grace. You know, it's not through works should any man boast. And that's, I think, sometimes where we get confused in the church is we think that if we come to church all the time and we do this and we do that, that's saving us. That's not saving us. That's putting some rewards in you. I mean, that's giving you some credit for your, and you get some rewards for that, but that's not your salvation. You know, we do good works because we're saved and we're connected with God, but that doesn't save us.
Amen.
Amen. That okay, everybody?
Amen.
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 Any other questions on that or discussion on that? Okay, go ahead.
I wanted to try to, I was going to go to 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. I was trying to read that scripture. It's 1 Corinthians 3:15. I was trying to pull that up. Let me see if I can get it. 1 Corinthians 3:14, and I wanted to see if it starts there. I was trying to get the whole thing to come up. I don't want to do Bible Gateway. Let's try Bible Gateway. It says, this is a King James Version. I don't really like the King James Version. So, Dr. Nux, if you give me a second, I'll come back. It says, if what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. I'm trying to get back to, I need more than that. If it is burnt up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple? And that God's spirit dwells in your midst. So it would need to go back even to verses 13. But I don't have a Bible with me, and I'm trying to use my phone. So I apologize from that. I'm out of town.
Okay. But your point's well made, Dr. Susie. And
okay.
What you're saying there. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that clarification. Now, I'd like for us to read Revelation 21, 1 through 8, and that talks about the new heaven and new earth. And then I want us to read and have a discussion on that, and I want us to read Revelation 20, 1 through 7 through 15. So who has a Bible? Who can read this evening?
I
Donald,
have Revelation
have a Bible?
21.
Okay. So Dr. Susie has Revelation 21. Who can get Revelation 20 for us?
7
through 15.
Revelation
21.
Okay.
Yeah, that one, and then I also need somebody to read Revelation 20, 7 through 15.
I have that one.
I have
Revelation 21. I'm sorry.
Okay, you get read that one, and I'll read the other one.
Okay, I'm going to read Revelation 21, starting at verse 7, going through how far, Dr. Nux?
Revelation 21, 1 through 8.
Okay, 1 through 8. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, see, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his people. And God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. And the one who was seated on the throne said, see, I am making all things new. Also he said, write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. Then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. those who conquer will inherit these things, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the polluted, the murderers, the fornicators, the sorcerers, the idolaters, all the liars, their place will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. And Dr. Nooks, was that the, what's the translation for that?
That's the New Revised Standard Version. That's the New Revised Standard Version.
The Holy Bible New Revised Standard Version, 1989. I see it. Okay.
Yeah. So what are your reflections on that text? This is the new heaven. But they also get into the lake of fire in that text also. There's quite a contrast there, isn't it?
It is. But I think the first thing that jumps out at me, Dr. Nooks, when I listen to that, it talks about the fact that the holy city is coming down out of heaven. It says down, and is prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And the idea is that, and the thing that jumps out at me is that God will dwell with the people. Before,
amen.
We didn't dwell with God. You know, God was somewhere other. But this time at this place, God is with us, Emmanuel, with us. I mean, I take that to mean physically with us. I'm in God's presence. I don't know what physical looks like, but my spirit with God's spirit. You know, because we won't have mortal bodies. My understanding, we won't have these bodies as we have them now, but I will be with God in God's presence.
Amen.
And that's my celebration. That's what jumped out at me. That's what made, you know, my understanding that I don't have to cry no more. I don't have to worry no more. I don't have to stress no more. The cortisol ain't in my body no more. I don't have to worry about all these things that are insignificant, because what's most important is I'm with my God. That's all.
Amen.
That's important, and I get to worship and be with God all day long, and happiness as
Amen.
I've never known it, joy as I've never experienced it, peace as I've never understood it. Hallelujah. Thank
Amen.
You, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Any other reflections?
The young man on the line, the Donald from Tulsa, if you get off of mute, you can say something, but you have to unmute yourself.
Well, thank you. Yes, I've been listening, taking it all in.
Okay. Amen. Dr. Nooks, go back to mute,
yes.
Guys. Dr. Nooks, what did you say?
I was just going to make a comment about Jesus making all things new. I work with people that are sick and dying every day, and I work as a hospice chaplain. And these words, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more. And I see people that are in pain all the time. And I just rejoice when I hear these words. For the first things have passed away. And then Jesus says in verse 5, see, I am making all things new. So, you know, our bodies wear out and we get tired and we get all kind of aches and pains as we get older. But Jesus is saying, I'm making all things new. And those that are thirsty will receive from the water of life, from the spring of the water of life. And we know that the tree of life in the Garden of Eden was not supposed to be eaten from. But now here we're saying that the spring of the water of life, it will be given to those people, to those that are a part of Christ. And I, like you, I'm excited about the fact that God will be with God's people. Jesus will be with Jesus' people, God's people. And if we read on down further, we find that we won't need a sun anymore. We won't need light anymore because God and Jesus will provide the light. We won't need a temple or a building anymore, because God will be the temple. When you think about that in contrast to the lake of fire, anybody in their right mind would want to be in heaven. And this is a new heaven and a new earth.
Amen.
So everything we see now will be done away with. I mean, we look at our pollution and we talk about the Paris Climate Accord and the fact that Trump pulled out of it and pollution is all around us. People are getting all kind of respiratory problems because of the air we breathe. The water we drink is a problem. I mean, and it's getting worse. But all this stuff is going to be done away with, and it's going to be all new. And then a new Jerusalem, holy city, will be coming down from heaven. So you're going to have a new heaven and a new earth and a new holy city coming down from heaven. So this is a beautiful, beautiful sight. So do we have any other comments on the new heaven and the new earth? If not, I'm going to read Revelation 20, verses 7 through 15, and it reads like this. When the 1,000 years are ended, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations at the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, in order to gather them for battle. They are as numerous as the sands of the sea. They marched up over the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from heaven and consumed them. And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then I saw a great white throne, and the one who sat on it. The earth and the heaven fled from his presence, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Also another book was opened, the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, as recorded in the books. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, death and Hades, and gave up the dead that were in them. And all were judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Amen.
Amen.
So we have quite a scene here, and I'd just like to talk a little bit about what's going on, and you need to understand that there's a whole lot of disagreement about what Revelation means. There's a lot of symbolic language, but I think it's pretty much agreed that there's going to be a millennial reign. We talk about the opening of the seals and the Great Tribulation period, and in the Tribulation period, Satan is going to, the false prophet is going to show itself, the beast is going to show itself, there will be a ruler that will come out of the sea, of the land, and it will come, it will not be from Jerusalem, but the false prophet is supposed to come from Israel, from the Jewish line, and the false prophet will support the beast, the Antichrist. And the Antichrist will have its way, and there will be a battle. And, you know, we talk about the Battle of Armageddon, and many people will be killed. And after the Great Tribulation, and there will be, you know, of course, the rapture is to be before the Tribulation period. Then you have the Tribulation period. Then out of the Tribulation period, Satan is going to be chained in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. And this millennial rule is where Jesus is going to rule with a rod of iron. There won't be any Satan. There won't be any deception. There won't be any sin allowed in this millennial reign. Then after the millennial reign, Satan will be released from the bottomless pit and allowed to tempt and fight against the children of God. So people that will be in the millennial period will act like they believe in Christ and believe in God, but they really won't. And then when Satan is released, he's going to draw them away from God, and then they're going to do battle with the children of God. They're going to surround the city, and that's what you see here. And then flames come down from heaven and consume them. And then they are sent to the lake of fire. So I just wanted to kind of give a background, maybe an understanding of what's going on here. And then I'm going to ask for comments from you all about the lake of fire and how we might share with our listeners what this means and how it should affect lives, how it should affect our lives, knowing about this lake of fire. So I ask for comments from those that are in the studio about this text in Revelation 20, 7 through 15.
Amen.
Amen.
So reading this, does this scare you all? How does it make you feel when you read this?
Go ahead, brother.
I think
go ahead, Brother Donald.
It should make you feel concerned with your own faith. It should, how we say it, we say in school, scared straight, and something to really think about.
Yeah. My Lord. And it says he's going to deceive the nations of the four corners of the earth. So Satan, when he's released, then they put in here Gog and Magog. And if you know anything about Bible history and Bible study, this is Russia. So, I mean, these things are very, very relevant to our time today. And it says they're going to be like the sands of the sea. So, you know, it makes me think, Brother Brett and Donald and Dr. Susie. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Dr. Susie.
I was just asking, can I read it from the Message?
Yes, absolutely.
It says Revelations 20, 7 through, 15. I want to read starting at the first verse. It says, I saw an angel descending out of heaven. He carried the key to the abyss and a chain, a huge chain. He grabbed the dragon, the old snake, the very devil, Satan himself, chained him up for 1,000 years, dumped him in the abyss, slammed it shut, and sealed it tight. No more trouble out of him deceiving the nations until the 1,000 years are up. Now, after that, he has to be let loose briefly. Briefly. I saw thrones. Those put in charge of judgment sat on the thrones. I also saw the souls of those beheaded because of their witness to Jesus and the word of God, who refused to worship either the beast or his image, refused to take his mark on forehead or hand. They lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Now, the rest of the dead did not live until the 1,000 years were up. This is the first resurrection. Mm-hmm. And those involved, most blessed, most holy, no second death for them. They're priests of God in Christ. They'll reign with him 1,000 years. Now, when the 1,000 years are up, Satan will be let loose from his cell and will launch again his old work of deceiving the nations, searching out victims in every nook and cranny of earth, even Gog and Magog. He'll talk them into going to war and will gather a huge army, millions strong. They'll stream across the earth, surround and lay siege to the camp of God's holy people, the beloved city. They'll no sooner get there than fire will pour out of heaven and burn them up. Come on, somebody.
The devil who deceived them
will be hurled into the lake of fire and brimstone, joining the beast and the false prophet, the three in torment around the clock for ages without end. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. That makes it a lot clearer.
Yes. Keep on reading. Read to the 15th.
Okay, I sure will. And it says, I saw a great white throne and the one enthroned. Nothing could stand before or against the presence, nothing in heaven and nothing on earth. And then I saw all the dead, great and small, standing there before the throne, and books were open. Come on, Brett. Then another book was open. That was the book of life. The dead were judged by what was written in the books, by the way they had lived. Sea released its dead. Death and hell turned in their dead. Each man and woman was judged by the way he or she lived. Then death and hell were hurled into lake of fire. This is the second death. Anyone whose name was not found inscribed in the book of life was hurled into lake fire. So, what jumped out at me, Brett, when I heard this, and Dr. Nooks and Brother Donald, is I'm understanding now where it looks like when you hear that it says the dead were judged by what was written in the books, by the way they had lived. Now, Brett, that means that if you live without Christ, if you didn't accept Christ as your personal Savior, if you live thinking that Christ was just a good man, he was a good prophet. I heard my mama talk about that, but I didn't believe in that. I heard people say stuff, but I didn't spend the time to try to get to know who he was, and I really didn't pay no attention to that stuff. That was just stuff the old folks talked about. If that is your philosophy, then the way you live is a life without the Lord. You are living a way in which you're not trying to embrace God, Jesus the Christ, and you're not trying to live a life for him and a life with him on the throne of your life. That's, to me, what they're talking about. So if you didn't do that, your name ain't in the book of life.
Amen.
Amen.
So would you say
go ahead, Donald.
Go ahead, Donald.
So wouldn't that, couldn't a person, like, I don't know, wake up one day and realize that he need Christ and repent? So the world basically need to repent if they want to be in the book of life.
Amen. Repent and be saved.
And the Bible says it this way. It talks about every man went to work. They went to the vineyard to work. And whoever arrived in time, as long as they got there, even if they were the latter ones to work just a little bit in the evening, they still received the same reward. So it doesn't matter. As long as you accept Christ before you leave this earth, because you can't do nothing once you're no longer here.
Right.
It's done. So you got to make the decision on this side of the Jordan.
Amen.
On this side.
Amen.
And I wanted us to focus, and I know we only have a few minutes left, Dr. Susie, but this, when Satan is released from the bottomless pit, he goes about deceiving the nations. And Satan is a deceiver right now. He's doing that now. And he's gotten us so deceived that many people don't think they even need to be saved. I think Brett, you said earlier that people think they're going to heaven, got their book name written in the book of life, and have never even given their lives to Christ, never have even thought about it, but yet they're saved. I remember going door to door in neighborhoods, evangelism before, and talking to people, and they said, "Oh, I'm saved." And I say, "Oh, yeah, when did you get saved, and how did you do that?" "Oh, I just know I'm saved. I'm going to heaven." And no asking Christ into their life, no nothing, but yet they feel like their name is written in the book of life, just like Britt was saying. And I think that's amazing.
I hear it all the time.
People are But, this deception, it concerns me. And what might you have for our people that might be listening in as we close? Just some thoughts about how we can help overcome some of this deception.
Well, I think it's the way that he wants to was go out and preach his word, spread his name amongst
the
people. That's how I feel.
Amen. Britt, Dr. Susie.
How can we help people? So our focus is how can we stop deception of?
How can we help stop the deception that Satan has? It is spreading in our world today. How can we help people not be deceived? And how can we help ourselves even not be deceived so much? Brother Donald said we can preach his word, share his word with people. But we're trying
and I agree with that. It's study the word, hear the word, communicate the word, share the word. Absolutely, I agree with Brother Donald.
Amen. Amen. And live the word.
Really was, that's right. Amen. Amen. I truly believe that some of our churches have come too much commercialized, and I don't mean it in a bad way, but some of the pastors and preachers sometimes kind of get away from teaching the word as
It's more, it's a show. I'm going to say it. I know it's probably not the right word I'm trying to say, but I think it's like we have a Bible study here. I think some of our churches should kind of try to concentrate on teaching the people what the words in the good book is saying.
Amen.
This is Brett.
So Brett. Yes, Brett.
I think. Yeah, a lot of what we've listened to tonight can go back to Solomon. Man, I can't talk tonight. To the city
Solomon
of Solomon.
Tomorrow.
When the heavens open up and rain down fire and brimstone. And that's going to happen here because God has said that's what's going to happen. So there's going to be a cleansing by fire again in conjunction with a lot of other things that's going to be the final. Now, mind you, it's going to be the final time that God will do anything to this earth, because after he does this, there won't be an earth. There'll be a new heaven that will, those of us that are in the book of life will enter into that gate and will be in his presence forever. Everybody
Amen.
Else is going to be gone.
Amen.
Amen.
And I think that's something as ministers and as Christians, and even though Christians don't understand it, they have the obligation to preaching the word. And that is to get everybody
Amen.
To understand this is going to happen. It's just like death. And I've said it before, from the time we're born, we're on the road to death. We don't know when death is going to claim us. So when we get old enough to understand, we need to start living our life according to how God wants us to. And no, it's not something that's going to happen overnight. It's a long journey. But as you strive every day to be a better Christian, God is going to bless you in the end.
Okay, I'm not
Amen.
Understanding you, Brett. When you say that the earth is going to burn up, God is going to burn up the earth, where are we?
Well, when the war comes, it says that fire will come out of heaven and kill everybody. So when that happens, that's going to consume. Right, that's going to consume a lot. But it also said that when he comes, the earth is going to split open. So the earth as we know it will no longer be.
Where do you see that? What scripture are we following there? I see the scripture that says, that we read a minute ago, that said that there were a group of people who tried to surround God's people. And those people who were trying to destroy God's people were licked up with fire. I saw that, but it didn't
yes.
say the whole earth. It talked about the people who were trying to destroy God's folk. So I don't see
okay.
that.
Okay.
It says that
okay.
there will be a new heaven and a new earth. And that might be what
right,
you're trying
but it
to
doesn't
say,
say
Rick. Yeah. Yeah. It
right.
doesn't say it's going to split open, but it's going to be a new heaven and a new earth.
Okay, you're right about that.
Right, and that's the whole idea is that we're going to have the whole, and I think what we were supposed to get out of this lesson tonight is that what we have here will no longer exist, that God is
Amen.
Going to create something totally new, and that new
Amen.
Thing
right.
involves us living and being in God's presence and being with God. And even in verse 17 of Isaiah 65:17 says, "For I'm about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered, but be glad and rejoice for what I'm creating." So God is going to create something new. And what is
yes.
old will never more, because the earth itself is groaning. The people are groaning, and we are waiting for Christ's return so that we can have the new way of doing it, because we're tired of this old mess. We're tired of the pain and the tears and the struggle that it says we don't have to deal with anymore. I don't know about you, but I'm ready. I'm tired. I'm tired of the injustice. I'm tired of the racism, the sexism, the classism. I'm tired of the diseases, the cancers, the HIV, the all the things that are killing folk. I'm tired of that. And I want there to be love. I'm tired of hate. I'm tired of people killing each other because they don't like the way they look, calling other countries assholes. Or, you know, I'm tired of the division and people being killed just because they're different from somebody else. I'm tired of that. I want love. I want the love of God surrounding me, empowering me, fulfilling me. And that's what I imagine being with God will be, day after day after day. Nothing but experiencing the power of love, a joy that's unspeakable.
Amen.
For God is love.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Dr. Susie, we'll turn it over to you now. It's 8:04.
All right, as we come tonight, we're just asking that if there's anyone out there who has listened to the Bible study tonight and they recognize that there's some area of their life that they have not submitted to the Lord, that there is some area of their life where they have not recognized that they're not ready if God should come right now, that they would take a second to say, Lord, forgive me for my sins. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I confess your name. I believe that you died and rose again and that you live again on the right-hand side of the Father and that you love me enough to die for my sins. And I accept you as my Lord and Savior.
Amen.
If you can say that, then praise God. And you have accepted Christ as your personal Savior, and you are now a part of God's family. And you can rest assured that if you die tomorrow or the next 30 seconds, you will be with the Lord in paradise. You will be with the
Amen.
Lord in heaven. And so as we come tonight, we're just asking, oh God, that you would hear our prayer, hear our hearts as we receive the brothers and sisters who've accepted you as their Lord and Savior, that you would help us, God, as we walk tonight to try to understand that you are returning. And when you return, there will be a new heaven and a new earth. We can start over. We can be with you, those of us who accepted you and have chosen to live a life with you. Lord, we're just asking a special blessing now for those who don't know you and the pardon of their sins, that they will come to know you, that they will embrace you and embrace your truth. We are trusting you now for all these things, and we ask it in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ. Let us all say, amen.
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 And as we come back next week, we'll be dealing with these same issues. God's blessings be with you.
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.
Amen.
Thank you, everyone, for letting me join. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. Thank you, Donald.